Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Welcome to your favorite freaking podcast in the world. It's Fat Mascara.
Fat Mascara, back in full effect.
And I'm Jen.
I'm Jess. I am so happy to be back. I missed you guys. We were bummed, man. That 2 week hiatus was a little too long for me.
Unplanned hiatus.
Unplanned. So we're sorry if you woke up on Friday and you hit refresh and you just saw the same old, you know. Heard the Jawara episode and you're expecting something new.
And it's just more Jawara.
I mean, he's great. Yeah. But I know. I could listen to him talk all day. But yeah, we just had a little technical difficulty and it happens, you know?
It does bear with us.
We take technology for granted.
We do. Little gnomes in the air do all the things and we don't know how.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We know
more
than that.
But thank you for being so cool. A lot of you who were so kind on Instagram and with all your sweet comments and everything. So we're just trying to put this baby out while maintaining our sanity and day jobs and all that.
Yeah. So with our 9 to 5s, this is the soonest we could get. Well, 9 to 9, whatever
it is. How'd you get that gig?
Yeah, it's okay. Not. Mary Claire's 24/7. No, this is the soonest we could get back in the studio. So here we are. Are you ready?
Yes. What do we have on deck today?
Okay, we're going to talk about beauty trends. If you wore it once, as in back in the day, are you allowed to wear it again?
Okay.
And then lidage issues. We're talking about eyelids, big ones. And Fiona Stiles gave you some tips,
yes,
right?
Yes, she's fantastic. And then we have such a fabulous guest in the studio today, fresh in from London, the gorgeous, the legendary Alessandra Steiner, or to most of us, just Alex. She's very cash, just Alex. She has a fabulous new project to tell us about and also just some fabulous beauty editor wisdom. So listen up.
So Jess,
yes,
I had a moment like you've talked about where you put on a makeup look and then like someone gives you a look or a comment or whatever. So we actually put this on the Instagram story. Marc Jacobs is coming out with like a frosted lip. Well, there's eyeshadows too, but the lipsticks are frosted in that true sense of a word from like back in the day, Wet and Wild, pearlized pink, you know, in the 90s. It's not a metallic. It's not a satin. Like frost. I don't know how
it's straight up frost.
Yeah.
Like Revlon had a great one that I wore in eighth grade called Coffee Bean.
Oh, literally this came up in the conversation with my friend Wanyi when we were talking about this. She's
wow.
It's like Coffee Bean. Anyway, so I tried out one of the new lipsticks. Lovely formula. But I forgot that I had it on. And I went to a meeting and she's just looking at me and I was like, what? And I was like, oh my God, I have the Frost makeup on. She goes, yeah, I feel like the rest of your look needs to be more polished if you're going to do Frost lipstick.
Wait, someone said that to you?
It was Wanyi. She loves makeup. Like, she wasn't wrong. It didn't work on me. But here's what I want to talk about. I wore frosted lipstick back in the day. I want to say 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you, it's the same thing as fashion. Like, if you wear a certain makeup look and then it comes back into fashion, are you, do you have to opt out the second time around?
I've been thinking about this when I went to J. Crew over the weekend because they had this amazing pair of like jean bell bottom flares.
And I'm flare.
And I was like, I spent, you know, years walking around with like soaked back of the jean, you know, flares. Like if it's like a rainy day, remember like this, the water would run up the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they were longish. They like were the too seven denim. Remember?
Oh well, no, that was even later. I'm talking about like, you know, just like your standard issue, just, you know, long flares.
Okay.
You know, this was before designer denim was a thing.
Okay.
But it was, I looked at them. I was like, those are cool. And I'm like, I don't know. And I left them right there. And I think the same thing kind of goes with makeup. But I do think there is an exception to the rule.
Which is?
If you never
Frost
stop.
Lipstick.
No,
if you,
no, sorry, nice try.
Oh, if you, okay.
If you never stop. So a friend of mine, another beauty editor, Arden Fanning, her, one of her signatures is she wears this amazing glitter in the corners of her eyes.
Okay.
I was like the glitter queen in middle school and high school.
Like a Drew Barrymore back in the day kind of look.
Yeah, I had Jerome Russell spray glitter in my bag at all times.
Jerome Russell, I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, in my school bag.
What?
Yeah. In my
it's
school
like
bag.
A school
for,
look.
Oh, for me, it was, okay? I had in my school bag, if you know, if the forearms needed it, if we need a little hit around the collarbone, even the hair. I mean, I was really all about it. I mean, it was like Riot Girl time, okay?
Okay.
I kind of wish I never let that hint of glitter left because I see Arden and she looks amazing. And I'm like, if I reintroduce that kind of real glitter into my look, people be like, huh. You know what I mean? Or like, are we struggling with something?
But glitter is like an inherently youthful kind of thing, don't you
But
think?
It looks amazing. I mean, she's younger than me, but it looks amazing on her. She's been doing like her like a dramatic eyeliner and glitter look for a long time. And I think she's been doing it. I don't know, Arden, you can correct the record, but I think this has been her trademark.
Right.
I think to go and dip into something you've once enjoyed is a little bit kind of, like trying. It's a little bit.
Does it make, yeah, like are we trying too hard? Does it make you look older to do that? I don't know. But what if it's like a really flattering look? I'm not saying frosted lipstick was.
Well,
but
that's the thing. I think some glitter can be flattering. I'm not a fan of nose. I'm not a fan of you're too old or you're too young. That's not the message to take away. It's about your comfort level. But I do
what
kind
if
of wonder.
The brow bone highlight comes back. Remember those like harsh.
I never did that shit.
Okay, what if skinny brows come back?
Oh, okay, I've thought about that.
And?
I think at my age, mm-hmm. it's not as flattering because I just don't have the same face.
Maybe that's also what part of it is. Like, when you are 20, you have a very good canvas to work with usually, right? So, mm-hmm. like, it's more forgiving. Like, you can try something, and if it's not working,
glitter's
it's not like.
Glitter's always flattering, I'm just saying.
You really are stuck on this. Just wear the glitter. Just put the glitter back on.
You've been warned.
But I feel like it just, it's like you have more forgiving. Like, your skin is, like, more even-toned. Like, you can be more experimental. And some of these looks that, like, went away and came back are more experimental looks. Like, no, like rosy cheeks never went away and came back. Like, blush always looks nice, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, it's some of the funky colors. But at the same time, I think there's nothing cooler than like a woman who knows herself and is like, yeah, I'm wearing roach nail polish. Like, deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool.
So I can wear frost lipstick?
I think you can. Honestly, I think it's about how you wear it. I think it's the attitude. I think, you
own
know.
It. Own the frost.
You kind of, yeah, you do. Like, I mean, I might show up in Bell's tomorrow.
Oh, like flare jeans.
Yeah.
Wait, so what was the verdict? Did you buy the flare jeans?
I bought a pair of JNCOs instead.
Don't front, because I wore JNCOs, and I would fully wear them again.
I'm joking.
And I'm going to bring back the wallet chain.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
I think, honestly, I might go for like a moderate flare at some point, but it was
So that's a good, then there's a takeaway. Maybe I should try frost, but not like a hard frost, just like a little bit maybe in the
yeah.
center on top of another color.
God, I'm like, getting so conservative in my old age.
What's happening to us?
I just, you know,
Yeah, and then you have body glitter everywhere. So you're okay. You're going to be fine. Don't worry. Yeah, I'd be curious what you guys think. We'll post a,
yeah, a question.
Instagram story,
yeah,
question. Yeah, question.
The people will respond.
Yes.
Listener question, everyone. Listener question. You know I love a bit of listener question.
Didn't I used to have a sound for that?
It was like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, let's give that up.
So I actually really related to this one. So Danielle, lovely Danielle, wrote in and she wanted to know, she goes, I feel like there are a ton of tips and articles for those with hooded eyes. And that means the kind of eye where you kind of can't see the lid once you're like
a heavy
talking to someone.
The brow bone skin sort of comes over the lid a little bit.
Yeah, like a hood. Yeah. So, you know, like the eye makeup disappears. But never people with large eyes / large eyelids. I'm talking like a lot of eyelidage. So Danielle wanted to know. So I asked Fiona Stiles, who we just adore, and she's always, I feel like I love her because she's always up for a good time, but she will give practical advice too. You know, she's not like a, you can do that. But, you know, it's like she's got a grip on reality.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally knew what this girl was talking about right away. And she said, you really want to minimize the real estate with eyeliner. I love
that. Minimize the real estate.
Yeah. So like your eyelids are the real estate. Listen, I have huge eyelids. Like this is why like this is so close to my heart.
Yeah.
I get what she means. Because when I wake up in the morning, it's like I feel like I'm looking at like a Muppet. Or like,
remember that week where you looked like you were sleepy all the time and you were like, no, it's just my lids. They're big.
They're really big. And if I'm really tired, if the things aren't working out, I look like a Sesame Street character. You know, with those big like,
where the blink comes down and it's like a window shade closing.
Exactly. So like it's like 1/4 eye pupil, like white bit, 3/4 like
Lid.
You're just looking at a lot of lidage, right? So that's not, I think that can be actually quite sexy. Look at somebody like Sophia Loren. Look at Uma Thurman. Perfect example. Popped into my head. Penelope Cruz. There is nothing to be upset about, Danielle. I mean, also makeup artists, like they love us because they can basically
put like 52 colors on there. You got plenty of room.
Yeah. So this is nothing to be ashamed about. And this is something that I don't even think you need to fix. Okay. Just do what you want to do. But, something that Fiona recommended is using eyeliner to kind of create the illusion of less lid because I love it the way she said it, minimizing the real estate.
Okay.
She liked the idea of using a darker color, but you don't want to go too dark because it could look very, I'm going to use this word now, a little hockey puckish if you go too dark. When I put like dark.
Like a little Kate Middleton action.
If you put like, I tried this, I mean, this is trial and error. I'm your guinea pig. I've tried like smoky dark grays, cobalts, because we have so much lid. It looks like we've gotten like hit like in
it's
the face.
It's not just lash line. It looks end up like eyeshadow.
Yeah, like the black holes. Okay. Yeah. You can get away with a lot. That's not Fiona. Fiona says you can get away with a lot of liner at the lash line and that's really good.
But a softer
ground.
Color. Yeah.
Yes. She said that you really want to play with, and I love this, and I've been using this advice since I interviewed Fiona last week about this, lots of taupes, lots of dusky colors, because they're neither too light. Mm-hmm. Light is going to kind of make the eye area look bigger.
Yeah.
And too dark, we just talked about, big holes. So those really yummy taupes, think like Celine, think like Chloe, think like those kind of like fashion-y, yummy, expensive looking colors.
Yeah.
That's where you want to play. And when it comes to shimmer, we just discussed, I love a bit of glitter. I love a bit of shimmer.
Yeah.
Sorry, restrain yourself because that's going to...
Yeah, because I remember back in a year ago, we were talking about lids and someone told us to pop the center of the lid with a little metallic right above the iris to open up the eyes. I feel like that's...
Our friend Daniel said that.
Was it Daniel Martin?
Daniel Martin.
Well, I feel like that's more for the heavy lidded or smaller. Like, but for you, it's like you don't need to put...
We don't need to pop so hard.
You don't need to pop so hard.
Your lids are already popping.
Exactly.
But if you're like me and you do love, like I love my Charlotte Tilbury eyes to mesmerize, I don't use it. I don't smear it on over the whole lid like, unless I really have like some darker like bit to kind of shade, because if I just smear it all the whole lid, bam, it's the sun looking at you. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just so much like poppage. It's so much like,
you're making this out to be like you're a jack-o'-lantern of like just two huge holes in your face.
Well, I just need to explain to the people. Like, I mean, they're helpful examples.
Audio. Those are good tips. Yeah, Anything else?
I mean, taupe liner on the waterline or a light neutral brown on the waterline. That's from Fiona personally. I have sensitive eyes, so I never line on the waterline.
You do? Longtime listeners had no idea.
So I'm personally not saying go and do that, but Fiona says it works, and she is an expert. And curl your lashes. We talk about this like crazy, but we'll also
curl
help
your lashes,
it will
people.
Minimize the real estate because it's going
They're hiding
up.
Some of the lid.
Exactly, hiding some of that lid. And it also just makes, you know, the thing about folks like us, heavy-lidded people, sometimes people think we're tired when we're just like looking at you. we're not tired. We're just like, that's our face. Keep those lashes up. Keep them curled.
What's your lash curler these days?
I've been using a Troy Sirat. And hot tip, my cousin actually told me this and I felt like such a fool because like I'm supposed to be like the big beauty editor. She's like, but how often do you change your lash pads? And I was like, what? So I had to get some
new... lose their spring and you're not getting as good a curl.
Yes. So
that's a very... I forgot about that.
It was such a practical thing. And I was like, I've had this Troy one for over a year.
Do they sell refills?
I'm going to be totally transparent. I asked our friends at Troy for some refills.
Yeah.
But she uses another brand's lash curler. She buys like 5 of them in the U.S. She doesn't live in the U.S., and she just, when she's done, she throws it out because they don't sell refills. But that's how important it is. Like, your curler is worth zero. It's worth nothing if those pads are not fresh and buoyant and bouncy. And if you're using your lash curler once a day, just check them.
Do you ever flip the pad? Because there's certain brands where
certain brands you can.
Yeah, and I... Some of them are ridged so you can't, but I think Shoot Me More is you can flip it. But I've been using Shiseido one and you can't. It has like a ridge, like a pillowy top on it, so it doesn't work the other way around. But very good advice.
So check your curlers. Get yourself a nice taupe palette. Maybelline makes a really nice one that is doesn't have any shimmer in it.
The City one?
Yeah, it's like City Mini or something like that.
Yeah.
Chanel also makes a really nice one. I'll try to get that for you guys on the blog. But, I mean, you don't need to, they're pretty easy to find. Just, like, keep it satiny and creamy and matte.
Cool. Thanks for the tips.
Sure.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I am so pleased, to welcome Alessandra Alex Steiner. She is a London-based beauty expert. She was the beauty director of British Glamour for over 10 years, if you didn't know. She has a wildly successful Instagram. She had her own MAC lipstick named after her. Longtime fans of the pod will know. We talked about it. And she's just launched her very first beauty range at Primark. Welcome, Alex.
Welcome, Alessandra.
Alessandra.
Thanks for having me.
We got you on your last day in New York City.
I know.
Yes. I'm very excited. And you know what? Actually, I heard...
Come close to the mic.
When you...
Thank you.
I heard, you know, I listened to the podcast when you talked about the lipstick, the MAC lipstick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
it was really gorgeous.
I thought it was one of the... I loved it. Like, that's when I fell in love with both of yous, because it was just, like, so irreverent and fun how you talked about it.
I don't know what I said.
Because you were like, So this girl, she's got like her lipstick. She's the beauty director of Glamour. Like, does this mean we could all have our own lipsticks? And I was like, yes. And I thought it was so fun. I loved it.
It's so weird. Mac hasn't called yet. I'm not really sure what happened. Maybe I don't know.
Did they not get the message?
I don't know. I don't know. But no, I mean, I'm so glad that you're here. We've kind of, you know, we've been following you. I've been watching your moves. And then when I saw that you had this bit, we'll talk about the big splashy Primark thing in a second. Okay. But anyway, I just want to start from the beginning. What I really love about you is I can't stand beauty editors that kind of act like this whole thing was just like, it's just so weird how it happened. Like, you know, fell into beauty, or like they act like it's this like phase they're going through, or, you know, it's just...
I'm a journalist, but then they just made me write about lipstick.
They take themselves very seriously. I mean, not that you're not a serious person, but, you know, there's kind of this thing that feels like they're like a self-hating beauty editor. Mm. And you, I know, have always loved beauty.
Yeah.
And you've like really, you embrace it, and you can tell how much you're enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love it. I remember when I was growing up, you know, my grandmother, which was a fashion designer, like, in Austria, but like more, you know, back in the day, it was more like she had like a boutique fashion, you know, you would kind of custom make clothes for like ladies who couldn't afford it, basically. And I used to spend a lot of time with her when I was young, like all my summers, because my parents were traveling. And I remember sitting on the floor with all the seamstresses, and they had all the Italian Vogues and Paris Vogues.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I would kind of...
The hard stuff.
Look, but I mean, you know, and I was kind of would look through, but... For me, I was always more of like on the plump side, you know, I was never really a skinny girl. And so I couldn't really identify with the models in terms of like the fashion. Mm-hmm. But the faces was always something that I just always gravitated to.
Oh, I knew I liked you. That's one of the main reasons I got so into beauty. I was very alienated by fashion, although I loved fashion. I thought maybe for a hot second I'd be a fashion designer. Jen and I, we talked about fashion plates. Mm-hmm. This was like an American toy. But beauty... was always so much more democratic to me. It was so inviting. Keep going.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. I say exactly the same thing. I say I think it's way more democratic. And also then I remember as a teenager, I wouldn't have like rock stars on my walls or whatever, posters. I would literally rip out Estee Lauder ads. You know those black and white ones?
Yeah.
The Polina Poroskova ones.
Okay.
I show my age now, but yeah. I love those. And then I remember I would just have that on my wall. And... I don't know. My granny also had this beautiful dressing table. I don't know if your grandmothers had those amazing dressing tables.
Vanity, yeah.
Yeah, you know, with like the three-way mirror.
Uh-huh,
wish I had one of those. And she had all the like the Helena Rubinsteins and the Estee Lauder and Chanel No. 5. She always had Chanel No. 5. That the time when you still had a signature fragrance. Mm-hmm, so I love that. And I would watch her, you know, do her makeup. And she's the first person who got me into skincare. So she, when I was 13-ish, she got me like a Clinique 3-step.
Oh,
and
classic.
She was like,
with the soap
always,
in the sliding tray.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the toner,
clarifying
which
lotion.
Obviously now, you know, I wouldn't use because of the alcohol, but you know, back in the day, it's what I had. And I loved the lotion. And I remember that was like that was kind of my entry into it. And
your gateway skincare.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it was always, you know, and then I would buy all the Allures, you know, I own every Allure. That
still?
Was ever.
Uh-huh.
I own every Allure that
wow.
ever, like from the first edition, like the one really big one, I bought them all up. So I was just like, I used to spend all my money, like when I was babysitting, I used to spend all my money on products. It was a thing. I don't know. I just loved it. And I felt like I'd do all my girlfriend's makeup.
And I always,
it's British Jess. You're British
I
know, Jess.
I'm refraining. I have to be honest. I kind of want to keep on jumping in and saying, me too, with the Estee Lauder
I had to
ads
do it or, for you because it sounds like
but
you.
It really, I mean, I know we had a lot in common, sorry. Alex, but it's really a bit weird actually hearing you say all this, but this is your interview and I don't want...
I didn't mean to jump in, but it was
no,
weird
it's
for
actually,
me too.
No, it's really weird. I didn't want to jump in and say me too because that
did
sounds...
Did you
weird.
Also...
this they would sound fake if I said if I kept on saying me too and like I'm trying to be
but
a bit
literally
familiar.
Literally everything she said.
Everything you said is actually... Except, well, my grandmother, she was a seamstress in New York on 7th Avenue. So she wasn't in like a fancy couturier or anything and... She had like a vanity too with, you know, Chanel number 19. There are small differences, but I also had all the Elizabeth Hurley black and white ads. But I also had a lot of musicians too. I was like, both it was like alternating. But anyway, it's really weird. But anyway, this is not about me. We are happy to have you here. So let me ask you a little bit about, you know, we could have you here all day and ask about like, you know, and then you did this and that, then you do that. But a lot of people know you for your big beauty career at Glamour. And you were there for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. At Condé Nast, that is no easy task to be at one place in such a high position for such a long time. What do you think, like, when you first started there, that was such a different time in media, and Jen and I, maybe I'm just being quite sensitive to it because Jen and I are in media, what was it like at the beginning of that? 10 years ago, this looks so different than the time you left, which was just last year, right?
I left in March this year.
Okay,
in March,
wow,
yeah.
So really not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
So you've seen such a really, in my opinion, a really interesting stretch of time in beauty journalism.
It's so interesting because, you know, I started as an intern way back when at Marie Claire, which, you know, we all pretty much started as interns, I guess. I mean, that's kind of how you... And, you know, I had no connections whatsoever, like, in London. I just kind of literally started at the bottom with, like, a big dream. And I remember...
How'd you get in the door?
Well, this is the thing. I wrote letters to everyone. I got so many rejections. And then I got Marie Claire said yes. And when the day I got there, they were like, well, there's no space in the beauty department. We're going to put you on reception.
Oh, there were receptionists.
And
oh my God, they fired all of them in like the early 2000s.
Well, and back then, you know, and this was not paid. I mean, nowadays you know, there's a minimal wage in the UK, so you have you pay interns. And so I was on reception, and I'm not going to lie, you know, no problem with being a receptionist, but that's a profession or it's a job or something. I didn't set out to do that. Mm-hmm. So they put me on reception. I thought, you know what? Doesn't matter. It's fine. I've got a foot in the door. I'll make this work. And yeah, disheartened, but I was like, I'm going to make this work. And I remember I was walking in London where the offices were. It was the other side of the river. And I remember walking over the Thames every morning to get to the office. And every morning I would stop in the middle of the bridge. And I would look out. It's so true. I would look out over the bridge and I'd say, one day I'm going to be the beauty director of the biggest magazine in the UK. One day, every day, as a mantra. You know that kind of positive, which at the time I'd never read of. Mm-hmm. And literally I thought, one day, and it was just like this determination. And every day I was like, I said it. So when Glamour came, fast forward, when Glamour called me, I was at Cosmo at the time. You know, Glamour in the UK for beauty was the number one magazine.
Wait. And can I get you to rewind for a second? Because I know people are wondering, how did you get from behind the receptionist desk to...
So, you know what it is? I don't want to say the word lucky, because I think women like to say the word lucky. I think I was fortunate that, but not lucky. You know, I kind of made my own luck, but I had amazing people at the right time who, you know, helped me and
they recognized
saw something
in you.
And at the time it was a deputy editor at Marie Claire, and she was like, so what do you actually want to do? I said, well, I want to be, you know, in the beauty department. And so, you know, she then let me do, so I ended up going to fashion. Actually, I ended up being a fashion assistant in the cupboard, which I hated, but it taught me so much doing that. You know, I mean, I think now with hindsight, it's very easy to say, well, all the bad, you know, all the tough experiences made me who I am, but it's the truth, you know, it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, did I love ironing endless rays of white shirts, which was never good enough? No. But did it give me a certain steely determination? Yes. Did I, you know, did I like the fact that I never brought the right froth in the cappuccino to my boss, which I should, but, you know, that had to run back and forth? No, but it taught me not to be like that. So I think I did learn from the bad experiences, from the being treated not very nicely. You know, you either become like that or you don't. And I decided not to. So I decided to treat people properly. But so then there were some people, you know, who did recognize certain, you know, certain passion. I think I was always very passionate. And also, you know, I was never, I was always willing just to do everything. You know, I was willing to help anyone. I was probably quite annoying because I was always like, do you need help? Do you need help? Do you need help? But then eventually this deputy editor, there was a position going somewhere else as a beauty assistant on a teenage magazine, which I'm not sure exists here, called Sugar. It was like 17 in the UK. And again, this was another lesson for me. You know, I had ideas of grandeur, you know, obviously, like I said, I wanted to be the beauty director of the biggest magazine. So for me, being on a teenage magazine, I was like, oh, that's not where I want to be. But again, the lesson here, it's not always a straight line. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gotten to Cosmo. And if I hadn't been at Cosmo, I wouldn't have gotten to Glamour. So, you know, it's that thing of like, sometimes you think, oh, this is not really the road I want to take, but maybe this is the road that'll get you where you need to be. And to be honest, I had some of the nicest time being on that teenage magazine. It was lovely. And, you know, I met a lot of people that are still friends today. Yeah. So, yeah.
So when you got to Glamour...
Sorry, I talk okay. a lot,
no,
right?
No, it's right.
So when I got the call to go to Glamour, I was literally, I thought, like, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it now. I get a bit like, it was 100% my dream. You know what it was? Because it was over 30 pages of beauty a month. It was shooting as well, because I style and I write in the I do both, yeah. And I love both. You know, I'm just such a, I love being on set. I love seeing creators create. You know, I love collaborating with amazing makeup artists and people like that. So it was for me, it was a dream, because it's the magazine where I could do everything. You know, I could direct shoots and I could write, and you know, I was very lucky. The reason I was very happy at Glamour, to answer your question, is because my editor in chief was a wonderful woman, or is a wonderful woman. I'm just and a very encouraging. She was very straight in what she wanted, so it was very clear.
Yeah.
But equally, she let you kind of do what you're good at. And you know, another thing about, you know, being a beauty director for so long as well. You know, and this is true. You know, I was never the best writer. I can tell you a lot of people who in my mind are better writers than I am. I was never the best stylist, you know. I can tell you many people, you know, but I think when you have, I was always a very good all-rounder, you know, and also like very hardworking. Like, I don't think very few people can outwork me.
So when you left in March, how do you feel like beauty editordom or the role or just the beauty industry?
Yeah, why'd you leave?
Yeah.
I mean, you're, well, less because I've got a skincare line coming out. So, you know, 11 years, I honestly had some of the best times. I just love so much. I love being on a magazine, and I still love magazines like so much. That's not something that goes. But I think, you know, after this time, there came a point where, yes, obviously the skincare line, and you cannot be an editor and have your own skincare line, because... you know, that does put into question kind of
integrity.
I mean, I still think I can be a good journalist having my own line, but you can't be an editor on a magazine, yeah. I think, you know, because advertisers would probably have an issue with that. But also I felt, you know what, it was time to do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I was fed up with it, because I wasn't, but I did feel, you know, I've never been afraid of change. And I think 11 years was a long time, but I always looked forward. I mean, I started Instagram. I think Instagram started 6 years ago. I started mine about 5 years ago, because I could just see something that I enjoyed. So it was kind of like, I always look forward. I don't ever look back.
Yeah, you were one
ever.
Of the first people, one of the first editors I saw on Instagram, and really taking it seriously in a way that I don't mean like you had like a strategy that was super clear, but it was like, this is Alessandra. This is what she does on Instagram. She does, you know, like her Sunday facial. Mm. She is showing you the lipstick that, you know, just came out that landed on her desk last week. Mm. And she's like wearing it on Instagram. And you were, you know, brave enough, not that, I mean, like, you know, you're beautiful. It's not like, oh, you're so brave, you know, but you know, to turn the camera onto your face and like talk to people versus just taking product, you know, pics and things of events. So was this very strategic? Why did you decide to do this?
It's because I'm just a really conceited egomaniac.
No,
you know what it was? No, you know what it is? It's like when I saw, to be fair, the credit is when I saw Eva Chen, who at the time was at Teen Vogue, as a beauty director, I think, on Teen Vogue. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing what she was doing on Instagram. And I was like, you know, that's interesting. Like, I'm always very curious. That's the other thing with me. I'm always want to learn something. I'm curious. I look, what other, you know, what's going on. And so I saw what she was doing and I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then my thing was, you know what? I'm not about sharing my fashion so much. I do a bit more now, but even though it's always a pair of jeans and a sweater, but, it was like more about how can I have a conversation with my reader? Because working on a monthly magazine, I always felt I wrote my articles and my features and then someone else reads it. But that's one way, you know, and that's why I started the Ask Alex thing, because I'm so chatty. You know, I wanted to, as you notice. So I really wanted to have that conversation. And I just felt, oh, this would work for me, you know, and I thought, oh, this is the thing with Instagram. It's like it's not. Yes, I look at what other people are doing, but then you got to do what suits you. And for me, I was like, okay, ask Alex, ask me questions. And I love it. Like still now, like, I love when people ask me questions. And then the Sunday facial, I was like, okay, how can I... Skincare is such a like... And actually more now than ever, the confusion is real. Like, it's beyond.
I'm still confused by, like, Desiam.
It's beyond.
She doesn't mean the leadership. She means the
product. No, I mean, I went to the store the other day with a friend. I was like, he's like, what should I buy? I'm like, I don't know.
It is. But, I mean, it's become so much more complicated. And that's how the Sunday facial started. Because, really, it was more about, okay, let me talk through products. Let me explain products.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And this is because this is, again, the kind of beauty editor I was. God, it sounds like. But I mean, or I am, or whatever you want to call it. It's like I'm always about product. I love product.
Before we want to ask about skincare and product. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, because this is just like I'm a looky Lou, and I watch your Instagram, and I'm like, how does she always look so good? And even when you have no makeup on, because like if you're doing a facial or like you're on vacation in like Scandinavia, and I'm like, what the hell? So my question is, are you a heavy Photoshopper? Well, I already got the answer when you walked in the door.
Well, see my face. You tell. Like, I have no makeup on today.
Okay, crazy. So here's what my question is. Because are those brows real?
My brows are
not
real.
Microbladed?
My brows are real. My lashes are extensions right now, but not normally. But,
and so are you, like, very good about upkeep, like, keeping them waxed? Or, like, I feel like you never have, like, an off week. Like, your look is consistent is what I'm trying to say.
So you mean boring?
Not at all. But I feel like Jess and I look like different people every time we try and take a picture with a guest. Like, you know, sometimes my hair's up, sometimes it's down. Brows are scraggly. Brows aren't.
You know what it is?
You've got a look.
Okay, you know what?
Teach me.
I have, the full truth is I have the worst roots right now and I have so much Kalawau, you know, the root touch-up from Kalawau in my hair. I can't even tell you. Yeah. The thing is that I'm like the way I dress and also the way I'm not someone who looks wildly different. Yes. So I'm always kind of quite similar, but I like, it's a very classic, like I said, I'm not wearing makeup right now. I feel super happy not wearing makeup. You know, I'm not someone who always has to, but equally when I do wear makeup, it's probably like an enhanced version of this. So I don't really look that different. The thing the maintenance is this, is like I'm actually very, I'm quite high maintenance to be low maintenance.
I've written this story. Yeah. Tell me more because I think this is genius.
So basically when I do my color, I do my
Come
next...
Come closer to the mic.
When I do my color, my next appointment's already, you know, in the diary. So having been on tour now for 3 weeks basically with... You know, the whole skincare and everything. I haven't been able to do my roots. And now I'm darker with my
hair. How often do you go?
Well, I usually go every, 3 weeks. But now it's been like 4 weeks, basically.
Okay.
And it freaks me out. Like, for me, like, if you take everything away from me and you say one thing, it will be getting my roots done. Because I've been gray since I was quite young. And it's like, so, for example, like, every Sunday, I have a blow dry.
Okay.
And every Sunday I have an LED therapy in London at this place called the Light Salon. So that's I'll do that and then I'll get my blow dry. My nails are, it's all like scheduled basically.
You're consistent.
I'm consistent. It's constantly, it's like I know. Like,
but then in the morning you probably just wake up and you're good to go.
Yeah, I get ready in 5 minutes.
So is Sunday, your beauty day?
Sunday is, you know what? The Sunday facial is a real thing. I actually do it. Like I don't always do every routine I talk about because, for instance, when I talk about a routine for blemished skin, that's not my skin type, right. You know? So, but like when I fly back tomorrow, Saturday, when I'm back on Sunday, I'll definitely do a jet lag face, you know, Sunday facial routine for 100%.
But do you do real. Like, so you do your blow dry yeah. on Sunday.
Yeah.
What day is manicure day?
That's kind of more like, okay, so in this case now, I mean, it's a pretty much a disaster. I'm back. When am I back? So I'm back on Monday. So I'm in, I think, on Tuesday.
Okay, so hair, nails. Yeah. How often do you go to the light salon?
Every week.
Wow.
This is how you do it.
But then I don't do, but then like we spoke about earlier, like I do, all, it's all high maintenance to be low maintenance.
Back end.
In the sense that I don't really do, you know, I don't have Botox. Like I'm, you know, I'm not that, you know. So I'm definitely like the hair, the nails are done.
Do you get your brows done? Because your brows are really good.
I get them threaded, but I do it as little as possible because Tom Pischer, the makeup artist, once said to me years ago, I said, oh, I love it. I want to be that like, cool kind of whatever girl. And he said, well, you need to be less. Your brows need to be less done because they used to be very
sharp.
Oh, sharp. Yeah.
So now I kind of just go like
a lot clean-ish.
A lot less. Yeah.
I know what you mean. I know what he means, though, like, when they're too sharp, it doesn't look good. You know, it looks kind of aging.
Mm-hmm.
Mine used to be, not even too long ago, I saw a photo. They were very sharp.
I feel like we had a guest come on, too, and was like, maybe just soften up the arch a little or something.
I don't remember that guest, but I don't remember that guest. But I feel like I just started going to a different person.
Oh, that's what it was. I remember who was who.
And then I've noticed a difference in photos, but they can go very feral very quickly.
But for me, it's switching scary. From waxing to threading made a big difference.
Really?
Yeah, because waxing gives you a really sharp edge because obviously it's much harder. Yeah. Whereas threading, which is very popular in London, threading, it's a lot softer. And also, people can't see, but I just kind of put my fingers through and brush them up.
Yeah,
they look good. I like those brows. Now we'll talk product.
Okay, yeah. So let's get to the main event.
First, tell people what Primark is, too, because I didn't know what that was.
You want to go?
Yeah. So Primark.
These two Brits here.
I love it. I love it. I have to say, Primark is, you could compare it to Target, is what I would
say.
It's
cheaper than Target.
It's much cheaper.
It's less expensive.
So what's a comparison then?
There is none.
Oh, okay.
Like, I feel like Primark, I guess like Target would be like the most logical comparison. And I have to tip my hat to Primark because I feel like they've gone like Target. When Target came out, people like went crazy. Well, Target had been around for a long time. And then in like the early 2000s, they had a really big like renaissance because they started hiring designers like Todd Oldham and people like that to like rebrand them as
and
like
people
design.
Called it Target.
Yeah. Like,
it well, was, Primark's called Primarni.
So there we go.
That's why I'm doing the comparison because maybe that's why I did it. Yeah.
But there's still the price is still so much lower. Like I went to Scotland last year. I was freezing. I got a hat, gloves, and scarf for like under £7. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy town. So that's like $10.
And it was fine.
They were so cute. People like I wore the hat around town. People like, is that Rag and Bone?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I lost in a cab. I'm still so upset. It was a little pom pom hat. So
oh,
cute.
I liked the pom pom hat.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was like freezing to death. I'm like the only moron that brings like one pair of gloves
to Scotland.
You know what? I'm the moron that doesn't have an umbrella when I walk around London. So you know, I should know better.
But anyway, so lots of value for money, and definitely getting way more like hot in that. Design tip. Take it away. Tell us about your line.
Yeah. So basically, in England, Ireland, and Europe in general, yes, Primark is a very big kind of high street retailer. And it's known for fast fashion, for sure. And I was working as a consultant. You know, a lot of beauty editors consult for brands. And I was working as a consultant for them for a number of years, and mainly on makeup. And then I guess because of my passion for skincare. You know, I was like, okay, one day we're having a meeting and I said, you know, what about your, I love working on the makeup, but what about skincare? And they're like, well, you know, we have skincare and it's perfectly fine. It's just not our focus. And I remember saying to them, but skincare is the future of makeup. And this was over 2 years ago when obviously, you know, we as beauty editors knew about, you know, the Korean trend being strong and brands like Glossier, you know, doing really well. And then on the affordable side of things, obviously The Ordinary, you know, clearly, I think did create quite a big impact in terms of the affordability of products and showing that you can create quality, you know, that isn't breaking the bank. And so I thought, you know what, I feel like there is a way to do it in maybe a simpler way. Something that's, I wanted to do full formulas. I wanted to do, offer an option of something that's already a finished product, you know, not that you have to mix mm-hmm. and match things so much. And anyway, so the Primark went away and thought about it and came back to me and said, let's look at this.
What's the name of the line?
Alex Steiner.
I know. I just wanted to make sure people knew.
No, because you know what? Because I actually didn't think it's a good question because I was like, I thought when I thought about the idea, I meant for them. You know, as a consultant, I was going to do behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's sounding like private label.
Yeah. and I was like, that's exactly right. And so I thought of doing that. And then they said, no, but we'd like to do it with you. And I was a bit floored, to be honest, mm-hmm. you know, because I was a bit like, okay, that's amazing. And remember, I was still at the magazine at the time, right?
Right.
So this was a decision for me to make as well in terms of, because I knew once that came out, I had to go. I mean, you know, you have to be, what's fair is fair. So, you know, it took us 2 years to get here.
But it's interesting too, because a lot of these people who have a name as a social influencer or beauty editor or whatever, they do color. Mm-hmm. Like Huda mm-hmm. Beauty or like, I can name all of the influencers that have color lines. Mm.
Jaclyn Hill.
Yeah, all of them. They or they do this, a collab.
They but they're like makeup the people though. But right. they're makeup background.
You're a skin girl. You know. So is that why you did skincare? Because that's your love and you do, and that's who you are, or
honestly,
smart business.
I thought you're being very kind. I didn't think of smart business. Honestly, what it is, the true answer is I like the road less traveled. Hmm. So what I mean by that is, I'm not someone. I don't want to do something that's been done in a way. Like I say, I'm very honest about. I'm very open. I mean about like referencing my inspiration mm-hmm. of how I thought about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to copy something. And I didn't want to do something that is out there. Like if I'd done.
So you want to do a naked eye palette?
Well, but you know, if I'd done, that's
neutrals.
The point.
I see it.
But you know, like there, it's
12 in a row. Yeah.
And also I'd worked on the makeup for Primark.
Okay.
And it was out there and they did a good, you know.
Why just put my name on the same
thing? It's what it is. Yeah. And I'm like, well, whereas this is an offering that is really, really different in the sense that you're getting products that are between $4.5 and $6.5, but you're getting something that is cruelty-free, certified. And I really insist on that because we have the Leaping Bunny, you know, accreditation, which means that the product, it's not just the final product that's cruelty-free. It's every single ingredient that's in the product has never been tested on an animal.
They're real,
that's
like, hard asses.
Yeah, that's really important. That's a massive distinction because I think there's a lot of consumers don't know what it actually means, because just to say you're against animal testing is like saying you're against peppermint tea or you're against, it just means nothing, you know? So we have the accreditation. They're vegan-friendly because I think, you know, that is something that consumers definitely are looking for. They don't want products with, you know, that much with animal derivatives in it. And also, I don't think it's necessary. They're also, and then the editor came in, you know, mm-hmm. they're sulfate-free. There's no phthalates.
Is that because you're worried or concerned about what those will do?
Well, I don't think those are ingredients that I want to put on my face. Sulfates, phthalates. I think also for me, what was important, parabens, obviously. But I mean, that's something nobody wants a paraben in there. I think for me also the packaging, I wanted it to be no jar packaging because of cross-contamination. So everything is in airtight mm-hmm. pumps. And it was also, you know, it was offering the kind of products that as editors maybe, you know, I would look at that I'd want, but offering it at an affordable price point. There's also no fragrance mm-hmm. and there's no essential oils. Not because I'm against essential oils, but essential oils in order to be good have to be of a very, very high end,
You couldn't get quality. The price that you were looking
no,
for.
No, and also, you know what? Some essential oils can be irritating for some people. And my whole philosophy is skin barrier protection. So these products, I wanted to do something, you know, that is safe, but still, you know, effective.
Can you get it in the States?
Yes. So there are like 9 Primarks so far at the moment, but it's available in Brooklyn and in Boston.
Cool.
At Primark.
So how do you, when you introduce yourself to people now, are you like, you know, do you call yourself a beauty expert? Do you call yourself a brand founder? What's your like elevator pitch? Your lift pitch.
I say you may call me Your Majesty.
I'm the queen.
Beauty. I feel like I'm a journalist first and foremost, mm-hmm. and I know like people are like, oh, you can call. But the thing is, I'm not an editor on a magazine anymore. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But the journalism is not a job. You know that's a trade. Like that's
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I do product now with a brand. But I still, you know, all those years of crafting and you know, and I, you know, I go, to, I still work with other brands, you know,
totally.
This is not, for me also, the thing about the line is what I want to also, you know, kind of open up a bit is this fact of like, it's all about mixing and matching, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here claiming to anybody that all I use is this. Mm-hmm. I mix and match. Yeah. I still like, I've always liked Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair. I love it. I will always use that product. It works for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many products, like I love Dr. Gross products. I love, you know, there's a bunch of products that I love that I will still use. And it's about incorporating, you know, different products into a routine.
As like being still a journalist and obviously making content for people, not just products, what's exciting to you in the beauty industry right now? Doesn't have to be in the skincare world, but, and also on the other side, what are you so over? Ooh, she hasn't answered. No,
you want to get me into trouble.
No.
I'm, you know what? I'm over, I am over bullshit marketing because I do think, you know, I want people to be, I think you can be honest and have integrity and bring out products. And I think there's a lot of people that are. There mm-hmm. are a lot of people that are mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the consumers now are definitely calling out, like when people say like claim things that aren't right,
like greenwashing.
That's what I mean.
It's
well,
natural,
like,
it isn't.
Like things, yes, and things also like you know, like I said about being cruelty free and not tested on animals. Well, being against it doesn't mean anything. Like you know, being I think things like that. I think clean beauty. There is no official definition of what clean beauty is, mm-hmm. so.
So saying
so what is it?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like
right, right.
when someone says to me, but is your product clean? I'm like, well,
what does that mean?
You know, I think we have to be a bit more, you know, communicative with people and in the sense, be honest. And also like, you know, making claims that don't exist. You know, we all know that there's a limitation to what skincare can do, but then there's also a limitation to what injectables can do. You know, to me, you know, if someone says, you know, does your cream get rid of wrinkles? I'll say no cream.
Get rid of wrinkles.
But also manage expectations.
Yeah,
be honest, you know? And I think that's the thing. Like I know we all want to believe in the magic and we all want to believe in the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think being a bit more realistic and accepting that, you know, for me, without a doubt, I think skincare absolutely can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like working out, you know? It's the same thing for me. Like, I don't love working out, so I don't have the body necessarily of like an athlete because I don't like working out. But if you want to change your body or be healthier or whatever, you have to work out consistently. And it's the same thing with your skin. It's what you do day in, day out in the long term. However, you know, that gives you healthy, beautiful skin. However, if someone has like deep frown lines,
mm-hmm.
no cream is going to get rid of that. So
right.
if that's something that bothers you, there's no problem with getting injectables,
right.
you know, I think let's be a bit, you know,
more honest,
be a bit more honest about stuff
yeah.
like that.
What do people not know about you? You're on Insta, they think they know you, they think they're very intimate with you and all that. But like, is there something weird that like we don't know? Like, what do you like offline? Like, do you like, I don't know, like wear sweatpants all the time or like eat lots of frozen pizza?
Oh, God. You know what?
She's glam. She doesn't eat frozen pizza.
Oh, no, I don't eat frozen pizza, but I eat a lot of ice cream. But you know what it is, what people don't, and they often, because when, I definitely have like, you know, I definitely have a face when I take my selfies. It's mm-hmm. like I have an angle. You know, mm-hmm. Like most people do, and I have an angle.
Yeah.
And what people,
I haven't figured out
and
mine.
What people, but what people say to me, what they do say when they see me doing lives or when they catch a story, like they didn't realize that I'm actually, well, they, well, if I say so myself, that they don't realize I'm actually funny, that I actually have a personality. I think sometimes I can, if you just see a still of me, like I literally have a stupid.
I was like, if they watch a video. Like,
yeah, I do have a very like, yeah, you know, I have. I don't smile. Like I don't. Like my dad will say to me when he doesn't have Instagram, but he'll like look when my brother shows him or someone, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, "That's not you." Like my dad literally says, "That is not you in the picture." I'm like, "No, no, Dad, you're not being funny." He's like, "No, that isn't." I said, "No, Dad, that is me." So in the sense that he says, "But you're not smiling," and I was like, "Because I'm so in real life, I'm so expressive." I'm so smiley.
Right.
I think that's one thing. But I mean, I think that's maybe not what you want. What is something people don't know about me? People don't
know. You're like smiley and fun.
That I'm actually, yeah, I'm actually super expressive. And that, you know, and I do swear a lot, even though I try to control myself. But I think, you know, I share a lot. I don't share my private life very much.
Okay, okay.
So I definitely don't really, I mean, you see glimpses of my family, but I don't really share, like, I want to be open, but I don't really share, like, who I'm dating. I did once, and I kind of regretted it.
We heard that from Jaclyn Hill. Yeah. She was just like, you let people in, and then it's just.
But it's more also, you know what it is for me? It's more the fact that I chose this.
Mm-hmm. They didn't.
But the other person
didn't
necessarily. Yeah. And I don't want to be an Instagram couple. That's not what I want to be. You know, I want to talk about beauty. Mm-hmm. I want to be an expert. You know,
Alex Steiner man.
It's not about
Alex Steiner man.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of like, but that's the kind of thing. But things, I mean, I'm sure there are things that people don't know about me, but maybe they don't want to know about me.
Okay, so but before you go, we talked a lot of product, but like beauty editors are the best people to ask the last questions that we always ask. Like what's in your, not your kit, but your makeup case.
Okay. Oh my God. There is a lot.
Besides Alex Steiner. But for Primark.
No. I mean, like totally. I mean, like I said, I even like skincare. I mix like so much stuff, but.
What'd you pack for New York? Like
Hourglass Foundation Vanish Stick.
Okay. Oh, is that the one that's like a triangle?
It's a triangle. It is beautiful. I resisted it because, like I said, I'm comfortable being without, like I am now. But that foundation, I thought, oh, it's in a stick. And I'm thinking pancake.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It is beautiful. My friend Nikki Makeup, she's a makeup artist. She literally showed me how to use it. And it does the most, it literally makes your skin look.
What is there a different way of using it?
Incredible. Well, you use it with a brush. And I'm an old-fashioned finger kind of apply kind of. But you use it with a brush. And I use the Charlotte Tilbury Hollywood, the double-ended one.
Uh-huh.
And I just buff it in. And you use a tiny bit.
So it is swipe it on and then buff?
Yes. Oh, yeah, but very little. Like you're spare. It makes your skin look divine.
Okay.
So that, I'm obsessed with that.
How do you
and
keep your
brush.
Foundation on? I'm just like asking everyone now because I put on primer sometimes, but maybe I just touch my face too much. My foundation's off by 3 p.m.
But as you've noticed, I touch my face a lot. So this is a problem I have.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely because I'm so like expressive. And I don't like powder because my skin's dry.
Right, you don't want to set it. So
what I do is so under eyes, I use the Secret Brightening Powder by Laura Mercier because my concealer always run. Like literally is the one that like by 4 o'clock.
So you
it's
do
like
powder
here.
It then.
So I powder under the eyes with that, and that is super, super sheer. And then I will take the Laura Mercier, the new translucent glow, and I'll take a big brush, which I will shake off, and then literally just powder. But with whatever's you shake off, I'm gesticulating, which doesn't work on a podcast.
Fine.
And I literally just put it like on areas where I'll put it under my cheekbones because I like to contour.
Okay.
So I'll put it there, put it around here.
Around the top
temples, like the outer edges and my chin, but like the middle part. But I don't have a lot of oil in my face, so the middle part stays clean,
glowy or looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, does it stay put? You know what? But this is a very European thing, I think. We like to look a little bit imperfect. Imperfect.
I definitely look imperfect.
But,
no.
But, yeah. But then, you know, I always have bronzer, so I always have the Charlotte Tilbury, her bronzer.
And I swear this is
Film Store Bronze and Glow.
Lost yeah.
I'm obsessed with that bronzer. I'm obsessed with that bronzer.
I wish.
And I was high fiving her. That's not what you wanted to do.
But I was doing like a mime. Yeah. Like, wait, like, is that you? Like,
yeah.
Like,
I wish I never could love that product.
It's a little bit weird.
You guys are like sisters across the pond. I love it.
Hey, Alex.
That makes me happy. But I love that bronzer. And I love it because it's good because I'm not naturally tan. You're pale.
Yeah.
And I mean, I fake tan a lot. Tan Lux, fake tan, love.
I'll never figure out how to do fake tan.
But that bronzer for me is like life. And I think sometimes when that bronzer is almost like a fixing powder, not. So I love that. Oh, I love old pinky nudes. So I love this Bobbi Brown art stick called
That chubby crayon.
Brown berry, yeah. Which is great. Okay. And then when I do go poom, it'll be like a red. And in that case,
when you go what?
When I go a bit poom, like when like I have out. To do, when I have to do something, when I like I can't be bothered with doing like normally I'll do.
I love that.
No, but you know a bit. Like,
yeah, I've heard va va boom.
Jazz
like,
it up.
But the poom. Poom. I felt like is she talking about like dying or no. Is she like is she or her like. Plumes no, coming out no. Like you know feathers.
Poom, like when she's poom. Gotta bring it.
When I have poom. To bring it, I'll do. I like it'll be a red lip.
Is that like a British thing or an Alex thing?
I think I just came up with that because I'm literally like Friday night.
We've got our episode beyond. Title for sure.
When I poom it,
oh my god!
So that'll be a red lip.
Which reds do you like? I'm dying.
So it's YSL Le Rouge number one. I love.
Oh, the classic.
Yeah,
oh,
I love wow. That one.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You're making me, you're cracking me. And there's a NARS one that I like, but it's in a pencil again.
One of those velvet matte things.
I forgot which
one.
The velvet
thing?
The shade of it.
Dragon red.
But I like a bright.
Okay.
If I'm going to go for it.
Hair and fragrance. And then
you can go then you can back go. To London.
Then that's it. I can't talk
then
more.
Then you can go poom.
Ba-boom.
You can poom back on a plane.
So hair, I'm super crappy at doing my own hair. And I'm not going to lie about this. I do get my blowouts. And as we did, you know. When I do it myself, there's two things. It's either wash it and I usually use, well, I'll always wash it, but it's a Christophe Robin. Mm-hmm. I like his products. And he has like a rose water shampoo and conditioner. Mm. I also like a brand called Color Wow. Mm-hmm. They do great shampoos and conditioners.
I've been using them.
Yeah, they're really good, I think. And
these are really shiny.
Yeah, and their ingredients I like.
No silicones, no nothing.
Yeah, which I think is you know really good on for hair. And then I will towel dry, center part, and I will spray in like the Philip B. One of the, it's a Philip B. It smells of orange flower spray.
Oh, nice.
The one with the black label.
It's so beautiful. No, it's a white label. It's a hydrating. It's a leave-in hydrating spray. Philip B. is a beautiful product.
We'll find it. We'll put it on the blog, whatever it is.
I'll spray that through, comb through, twist it, put in a low bun, let it air dry.
Oh, this is a good. So like that method. Okay.
And that's the way to then get the waves because I'm really incompetent.
Okay. Yeah,
and then if
too.
I have to. If I'm in a rush, I'll use a Dyson hairdryer, mm-hmm. which I think works and doesn't make my hair frizzy. And then there's a new Dyson tool. That
the
tool
era.
That
yeah, it's
that,
gonna be crazy. That,
we've been asking everybody about, but nobody has their hands on it. Yet.
Well, I do. So I had the.
Oh, wow.
I had
Alex.
Yeah.
Has
so
one.
I got it in.
Dyson.
I got
I'm
it.
Still waiting.
Yeah.
And what's the fragrance? She'll never tell.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Fragrance. Okay. Well. I'm not a signature fragrance so much. Like, I definitely have... I've worn Jill Sander's Sun, which I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah.
Oh, old school.
Jill Sander's Sun.
Oh, but
since,
so warm
since
and
I was
delightful.
A teen. Wow. Oh, you know. Since I'm a teenager.
I don't see it in the States anymore.
And you can't buy it in the UK, but you know where it's big?
TJ Maxx.
In Germany.
Yeah, well, she's German. It's a German brand.
It's top three in Germany.
She just got German on it.
It's top three in Germany and Austria.
Wow. Interesting.
So whenever I go back to Germany or Austria, I literally like the duty free is my friend, you know? So I literally buy tons of it. So Jill Sander's Sun is the one I've worn the most consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I love like Coco Mondel by Chanel in winter. I'm obsessed.
Oh, yeah,
the warmth of the amber. At the moment, I'm liking the new Cartier. It's called Carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That
it's crystally.
That's really, I think that's pretty one. For something light. You know, Serge Normand did a fragrance, which was called Ahava, which I love. Again, I'm a winter summer fragrance
mm-hmm.
person, so I change it like in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that Coco Mondel by Chanel is my power perfume. So I remember when I was at Glamour
I had it on my desk. And whenever I had one of those meetings, you know, when you have a meeting where you know you're going to have to, it's going to be a tough meeting,
yeah.
or when you have to really get an idea through, or when you just need a bit of papoom and you need a bit of courage.
Yeah.
That would, I would call it my power perfume. That I would spray that on and I'd go, right, let's go. Come on. You know, it would
yeah.
give me,
yeah.
and I think perfume has that totally. Ability to make you feel. So it always made, I was like, I would sit straight, you know, I'd yeah. be like, I can do this. But I have so like, I honestly have so many, but those are the ones I'll kind of always go back to. But for me, like also growing up, and we talked about how, you know, I got into it and all that, but I feel like sometimes it's so easy to criticize beauty and women for liking makeup and for liking skincare and all that. But, you know, and this is not some kind of pseudo feminist speech I'm going to make, but genuinely I've seen so much positive, you know, in this industry, but also whenever I talk, cause I, you know, through my Instagram, I'm very fortunate that I get to speak to a lot of mm-hmm. women. And I also know what it feels like for, I don't know what it feels like, but I can understand what it feels like for someone, you know, when you have acne. How, you know, some girls will say to me, I don't want to go to school because I feel so, I don't want to go on a date because I feel ugly. I don't feel, you know, and so it's not just about like frivolous crap, which is fine too, by the way. But, you know, there is a real depth to it too. Yeah. And I think one has to accept both. And it's like the both are two sides of a coin that makes a whole. And I think for me, like, it really is a lot about the self and about like, how you feel about yourself. And I definitely know, and like I said, it's not some sad sob story. I'm not like some, you know, supermodel who says like, I was really ugly and fat and heckled at school. I wasn't heckled in school. You know, I wasn't. I mean, but I was always a bit more on the plump side. I did have my kind of issues. You know, I always had decent skin, but we all have growing up as teenagers our little insecurities and not feeling quite right. And we don't fit in, whether it's your height, your size, your eye color, your hair color, whatever mm-hmm. it is that it is. But for me, beauty has always been a very positive and happy place that always made me feel good. And, you know, now I talk in a, you know, look, I would have, if you said to my 13-year-old self who was looking through the magazines, who had the Estee Lauder on the wall, you know, that I would be in New York, you know, talking to really top editors about my product, going to all the magazines, you know, Bazaar, Marie Claire, Vogue, Glamour, and I'd be sitting there. You know, when I went to Allure the other day, I literally had shivers up my spine. And I was thinking, I had a moment when I was waiting to be called up to see Michelle, the editor. I had a moment when I was thinking, my 13-year-old self would have not in a million years believed that I would be able to be here one day, just in this office to speak to all these people. So yeah. I think, you know, there is so much, and this is on a professional level, but also like on a personal level, you know, all these products, you might think, oh, it's all superfluous. No, it's not. You know, it's brought me a lot. And it's and I think for a lot of women and men as well, but, you know, I mainly talk to women. I do think it's so important that when I say self-care is one of the first step in healthcare, it really is. And we talk a lot about mental health, but, you know, especially in the UK, I'm sure in the US as well, mental health is a huge yeah. issue. But I mean, just taking care of yourself. And you know what? If that is a face mask, that's not something stupid. It
Absolutely,
isn't
yeah.
because it is something that's why the Sunday facial, you know, yeah, it's the time that I take for myself, you know. And I think as women especially, again, I can only speak for women because I'm one myself, but as women especially, and this is what I hear as well, everyone's always before you. Everyone, whether it's the boyfriend, the family, the dog, the boss, you're never first.
Yeah.
You are never
or
first.
Or what they think of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You are yeah. never, you always put everybody in front of you. Oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. So in a way, for a lot of us, you know, the only time when really we put ourselves first is when we have that moment in front of the mirror. When you think about your day, from the moment you get up to the time you go to bed, whether you get up and you think about work and you're on your email, that's not about you. That's about your job, right? And then you make breakfast or whatever you do. It's that moment when you are in front of that mirror, when you're cleansing or applying your makeup or removing it, whatever it is you're doing, that's the only time, really, when you put yourself 100% first. Maybe also if you go to the gym, let's say. But it really is about you and you in that mirror. So for me, that is self-care. And mm-hmm. that's not a bullshit.
I don't think
Mic
we can...
Mic dropped.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything we can Pa-boom! Add to that. Alessandra,
thank you
so much.
Thanks for having
Worth
me.
Worth the trip?
Oh my God, it was like amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's time to raise a wand.
Okay.
Okay, what you raising a wand to this week?
A makeup wipe.
Okay.
Three types of makeup wipe, actually.
What?
Okay, you know Earth Therapeutics?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't they get more love? They have everything. Whenever you're like doing a story, you need, I need a loofah. I need a body brush. I need whatever. They make like good like spa products.
Yeah.
But I don't often think of them for like skincare product or product.
I didn't know they made any skincare.
Well, products. Here you go. So they have this, I don't, K Aesthetics. If they're trying to do like K Beauty with K, I don't know what they're doing with that, but they're K Aesthetics makeup wipes. And you get a set of three. Retinol, tea tree, and collagen are the different flavors. Just kidding, types. But what I love about them is I actually been using the retinol ones, but look at the size of this.
Oh, they're really little.
It looks like the size of those Kleenex tissue packets. And even the wipe inside is maybe half the size of a makeup wipe. I feel a little guilt using makeup wipes because I'm like, you throw them away. Mm-hmm, you're making more trash in the world.
Yeah.
But I love those because they're, I only, sometimes you just need to clean up a little mistake. And they're not too oily, but the size of them fits so good. You could put that in your wallet. And you get, how many is in there? Each of the three? I don't know.
I'm not sure, but like 15.
15. 15 in that little packet.
It also says Korean beauty, manufactured in Korea.
Oh, okay. So maybe they are a Korean company. Korean. Look at me doing bad reporting. No, anyway, you get three sets of the 15 mini packs for $7.99.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And they're good wipes. Like I'm into them. Nice. No stingy. Very nice.
Yeah. Wipes. I'm not a fan of wipes, but I might give those a try.
Because of the trash reason or just
no,
like...
No, I mean, not even. That's like the side reason. But like I've never met a wipe where my face felt like good after. I didn't feel like I need to wash my face again.
I'll be perfectly honest. It's not for washing my face. It's like literally after lunch, I'm like, why is there lipstick on the side of my cheek? Like I'm just a mess. Or I touch my eye and then all of a sudden there's like mascara on my forehead. So anyway,
I hear you. I know that life. Okay, so I've mentioned this brand before when just after I went to the event, but I don't think I've ever raved about the product so hard. That hair care brand Brew, B-R-O-O. It's inspired by beer.
I remember, and I got the giggles when you felt like we're really into it the first time.
I don't even like really drink beer, and
I feel like it's like my dad's stocking stuffer shampoo. You know,
it's so funny. It's cute.
But what do you like?
So they actually make body products too. So I shouldn't say they're just hair. But I'm really into their hair products. Brew craft beer, their color crazed conditioner. Packaging is even like kind of look at this packaging. It's like. The fact that this is in my shower is hilarious.
Was I not wrong with my dad's stocking stuffer?
It's got like a, you know, wild tie-dye pattern font against like it's a dark brown bottle. Like this is, it's not like Kerastase, folks, okay? But it is one of the best conditioners I've ever used.
What?
I used one of their other products too, like earlier in the year, and I was like, my hair feels really nice. A shampoo and conditioner has to be so good for you to notice.
Like if you're telling me about a shampoo and conditioner, like it's probably amazing.
Yeah, because I'm not a hair person. And I was excited that they made color protective, products. It's $6. It's like
what?
Five and change.
I need to try it.
It's really good. And my hair felt soft.
It doesn't smell like beer, obviously.
It has a weird smell. And I think that's the hopsiness.
Like an earthiness to it? Or
it almost has like a
weedy.
Weedy or like... Okay. Yeah.
But not beer.
No, it feels a little... It doesn't smell like beer, but it has a weedy kind of like brewery smell to it.
Okay.
But not like frat party smell.
But your hair's amazing.
It felt great after, and the next day, because I go to sleep, you know, after a shower.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wake up and my hair is like frizzy. It wasn't frizzy.
Ooh.
And I've used it for quite a few shampoos and conditioners now, and I have to say that this is the key variable.
Don't sleep on Brew. I mean, sleep on it, but don't sleep on it metaphorically.
No, don't sleep on Brew. Okay, this is like the hair care line that people need to be talking about.
Thanks for that tip.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.